Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy the Spirit.
Resurrection body without looking at a little bit of the resurrection of the dead, because the resurrected body is an outflow of the event of the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so the focus is not on the resurrection of the dead, but I have to talk about it one way or the other. It will be coming up. Okay, so we are looking at an object now, or something that will come out of resurrection of the dead, and it's the resurrected body. So once you focus on the resurrected body, I think last year we also looked at resurrection of the dead. I don't know whether it was Father that taught us last year. Okay, or maybe it was Station on Demand or something. But I think somebody taught us on that. So we want to look at resurrected body. So because of time, I define it as a body that is raised from the dead by the power of God. The resurrected body is a body that is raised from somewhere, from the dead. There is a realm called the realm of the dead. You know, Sam says that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said what? I shall fear no evil. So even if in the worst place, we can call it the place of the forgotten. They are forgotten, but they are existing. Should we get now? So when God brings someone from that realm, the realm of the forgotten, like Jonah, who was forgotten in the belly of the fish, something happens to that body. That body doesn't remain the same. That body is quickened, is made alive. So the resurrected body is a body that is raised from the dead by the power of God. Now, while I was doing this meditation on this, it just came to my mind that do I realize that this present body that we have is an outflow of the fall of Adam? This is not the true body of Adam. Are we together on that? Before Adam fell, he had a body. So the body we carry now, which is the image that we carry now, is not the true image of Adam's body. It was after he fell, he realized that they were naked. So the body of Adam then, I don't know the clothes he was wearing, though we know we can assume it was what? Glory. We can just assume. It's not like it was written in Genesis that they were clothed in glory. They just know that they were not what? They were not naked. So I'm just trying to show or to talk about, like, if you look at this present body, most of the time you look at the externalities, but we usually forget the internal ones that are not visible, like our kidney, our lungs. When we say our hearts, our hands go this way. Like that was talking about stem cells yesterday. The chromosomes, the gene, the XY that we don't see, and all those aspects, they are part of this body for it to function. So when God raises the body, everything changes. Everything changes. So to be raised from the dead means to be taken or separated by the oppression of death. By the oppression of death. So what I'm trying to show us today is that when we say a resurrected body, that is a body that has been delivered or taken or separated from someone or from something. And that thing is called what? It's called death. It's called what? It's called death. So when we say the resurrected body, so when we say the body, our mind is attached to something. But when we now say the resurrected body, we are talking about something that God's power has manifested, has worked on. What's that word? And when you look at Jesus, he was going to be the first person that such power ever had ever happened to. That's why you see that in Ephesians, that talks about how God worked in Jesus, you know, the power that raised him from the dead. So the resurrected body is a body that also we are expected to have. We are expected to have it after resurrection, according to the scriptures, right? After resurrection. Then the resurrection, the resurrected body is also a hope. Like I said, it's something we're expected to have. Then it is a hope for every believer. It is a hope for every believer. You know, in the Corinthian church, something happened to them that, I don't know, some set of people came into their midst. to tell them that there is no more resurrection of the dead. Also, Paul spoke about it in 2 Timothy 2, who said there were this class or set of teachers that they said that the resurrection is what? Is past already. So indirectly, when you say the resurrection is, there is no more resurrection of the dead and everything, that means we are going to live in this body is going to, we're going to stay in this body. This body doesn't have any hope. You know, there was a time that we had a teaching in the body that talks about the spirit, soul, and body, and we kept dividing. It got to a point, you know, sometimes you think that this body and the flesh are the same thing. And there was also a time that the church felt it's the body, the problem is this body. So they began to discipline this body, not knowing that this body is not, there is something that controls us, which is what we call what? The flesh. It's a technology on its own that controls how we live, that makes us carnal, that makes us enmity. But somehow the attention was shifted to the physical body, and then people began to punish the physical body, put themselves in subjection, lock themselves indoors, they won't come out for years, they became monarch, they did all kind of things. But it helped them anyway, for according to their doctrine. Alright, so back to what I was trying to say. So the resurrected body is the body that is raised from the dead by the power of God. So that's why I quoted or I read Luke 20:36 for us. It says, neither can they die anymore. So the resurrected body cannot die. It's not subject to death. Death, because it has been taken from death, death cannot claim it again. He said, they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God. So, like what I've said, the resurrected body is also is one of the hope of for the believers in the gospel. Is there as one of the hope. You know, there is this six, in Hebrews 6, there is this six foundation that the life of every believer is should be hung on. You know, that talks about faith, repentance from dead works, you know, baptisms, what else again? Laying on of hands, eternal judgment, and resurrection of the dead. So if you tamper with that one, you're indirectly saying that we are not going to have access to the resurrected body. You're indirectly saying that we are not going to partake of the event of the resurrection. Okay, let's look at Philippians. Talking about the hope. Philippians 3:20-21. Talking about this resurrected body. How is it a hope? Let's look at it. Philippians 3. Okay, maybe I should read from here. Philippians 3. We said, for our conversation is where? In heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What will he do? 21. He's going to do something. Who shall what? Change. Our what? Vile. Weak. Weakened. Subject to death. Subject to decay. Subject to disease. Subject to whatever that it is that is in the atmosphere that we don't see. That it may what? Be fashioned. Like what? You can see he specifies something. Unto his glorious body. It's not just body. Unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able to what? Subdue all things unto himself. There's an assignment that Jesus has with our body. This body has hope. And the hope is that he's going to pick up another kind of body. Right now, it is subject to death. It's subject to sickness. We still feel a headache. We still feel tired. We still feel weak. You know, we do all kind of things happen to it. But it has a hope. And that hope is what Jesus will do with it. He's going to fashion it. And Paul showed us that, well, some of us will sleep before it happens, while some of us will be awake. Whichever way, it won't stop it. You know, before you can heal a patient in the hospital, what did they do to the patient? They put him to sleep now. Abby? They sedate the person. And the person sleeps off. Then they open the whatever that they need to open. When Jesus is doing this operation, whether you are alive or you sleep, when I use the word sleep, scripturally, that's the right word, sleep. But for us, we say when you are dead. Okay? But scripturally, it is when you sleep. Either you sleep or you are awake. It doesn't stop this operation. It can do it when you are awake. And it can do it when you are what? When you are asleep. It doesn't limit it. So Philippians 3:1 is showing us that Jesus is going to fashion our body unto his own glorious body. And that his own glorious body is the resurrected body. Right now, there's somebody in heaven who has this body. He's seated on the throne. The only one right now. Well, I don't know, Sha. Maybe he has done it for someone else, Sha. According to this, anyway, we are waiting for him. We are waiting for him. So let's look at Romans 6, 35. I just want to show us that this resurrected body, there is a prototype already. There is a prototype already. Romans 6, 35 talks about likeness. Wow. Romans 6, 35. Romans 6, 35. I can read from 3. So I'll be fast. It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted, that's an agricultural word, planted together in the likeness of his death. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall what? Be also in the likeness of his what? Resurrection. So whether we like it or not, in God's mind, we have been what? Planted together. And in God's mind, we are going to resurrect. So the oppression that happened to Jesus is also going to happen to us. That oppression, it was raised by the glory of the Father. It was raised by the Holy Ghost. We say that in Ephesians, the working out according to the power that worketh in us, is also going to happen to us. So, likeness. So, the resurrected body, we can say, is actually the body that Jesus is having right now. And he's expecting that every one of us should have the same. Just like in Corinthians, that says that if we have borne the image of the earthly, we are also going to what? Bear the image of the heavenly. If we have lived like the first Adam, we are also going to live like the what? The last Adam. We are going to get there. We're going to get there. Look at Acts 23:6, talking about the hope. Paul had to let them know that this is the reason why these people, this is the reason why they are disturbing my life. Acts 23:6. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, you know, they are, I think their combination is what we call the Sanhedrin. They were challenging Paul. So, Paul now perceived that there was a part that was Sadducees who don't believe in the angelic and the resurrection of the dead. And the other Pharisees, he called out in the council. He cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a what? A Pharisee. The son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and what? Resurrection of the dead. I am called in what? In question. So he appealed to a particular set of people. He warned them to his side. He aligned himself with them because they believed in what he was standing for. Though they were the one that killed the person that would bring what he was standing for. Are we together on this now? So it's a hope. This hope did not start with us. It had been for a long time. Remember Jesus told Martha. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay, so what makes Jesus' body unique? Jesus himself raised up Lazarus, but Lazarus still died, right? Jesus raised him up. That's body that Lazarus died. You know, it's a resurrection. You raised up somebody from the dead. Lazarus died for 4 days. We can call that resurrection, but that is still not the resurrection. Do we get? And that is still not the resurrected body. So that body that Lazarus had when Jesus raised him from the dead was subject to diseases, subject to sicknesses, subject to weaknesses, subject to all kind of things. And then he actually died. But there was somebody that died and rose up. You know, he died. It's not that God, he escaped. He died. Like death held on to him. He suffered. He saw corruption. He slept there for 3 days. He did not say, God, let us cover this program of death. Can we do something not so that I will not visit the valley of the... Mm-mm. He went there. He stood there for 3 days. And interestingly, you know, in that 3 days on earth, nothing was happening on earth. Apart from the earthquake. Apart from, if you also check it, people rose from the dead actually. Other people rose from the dead. There was something else that happened. Paul showed us in Colossians that he triumphed over them. He displayed, he made an open shame. It was open. But it was not open on earth. He triumphed over principalities, over what? Do you remember? Colossians. You say that in Colossians 2, right? Should be 2. He triumphed over them. Defeated death. Defeated sin.
took the key of hell. You know, when he came out from the grave, he said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. 3 days on earth, everybody went back home. Disciples were saddened. Everybody was on their own. But massive events was going on in the realm of the spirit. Hallelujah. So, it's a hope for every believer. The resurrected body. Now, let's look at what Jesus said. A few things. I've showed us one. So, anyone that has a resurrected body will be like the angels. They will be seen as the children. That version used children. It's actually the same thing as sons of God. Let's look at Matthew 22:30. The same thing. Matthew, the way Matthew used that word. Matthew 22:30. Okay, it says, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So if you can picture what the angels of God looks like, you should be able to have a picture of what that body should look like. Do we get that? He said they will be as the angels. So if we can have a picture, if we can go to the book of Revelation and just pick one angel, like that, he will tell us of an angel that put his leg on the okay, it's in the Bible. That used to show us in the Bible. The angel that puts one of his feet on the land and in the sea and raised up his hands. Jesus is saying that. Jesus said it. We'll be as the angels. Now let's move on. So, the resurrected body is like, it can be compared to the body of the angels, or as the body of the angels. It has flesh and bones. It has its own flesh. Not our own kind of flesh now. Because it has been changed. Though it is still what? Flesh. So it has its own flesh. It has its own bones. But there is no record of it having blood. Luke 24:39. You see, Jesus was showing us that. Luke 24:39. The resurrected body. Let's look at what Jesus said about his body. Behold, my hands and my feet. So that means that body has hands as feet. Well, there's no record of it having wings. That it is I myself. Undo me and see. What did he say there? For a spirit hath not flesh and bone. So that shows us that spirits don't have flesh. And spirit don't have what? Bones. So Jesus is not just claiming that. That doesn't mean that Jesus is not spiritual. That doesn't mean that, you know, we call him the quickening spirit. But in the sense of this word, spirit, wind. He said, as ye have seen me, what have. So when we get to heaven, Jesus have legs. If you get to heaven and you see Jesus that doesn't have legs, doesn't have hands, something is wrong. Jesus is telling us here that what? He has hands and he has what? Feet. He can decide to walk with it. And he can decide to appear and disappear. We are going to see that. That's the body. So, let's note that. That the body we're going to have is also going to have what? Flesh. And it's going to have what? Bones. It can be visible and it can be invisible. You will see that on the road of Emmaus. When Jesus was discussing with the two men who were having issues. And Jesus walked into their midst and they couldn't understand that this is Jesus. Mark said he changed his form. I don't know what that form was. Luke said their eyes were withheld. They were talking with someone, but they did not know that the person they were talking with was their master, was the Lord. You see that in Luke 24:31. Because of time, I will pick John 20:19. John 20:19. So let's look at what happened with this body that Jesus had. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, what happened? Where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. He did not open the door. He did not open the window. He was in their midst. Something that his natural body wouldn't have done before he died. He would just appear. He did this like 2 or 3 times. You see in John and Luke, you will see it there. It can partake of natural food. You will see there when the disciples went a fishing. They go for a fishing. And Jesus appeared. And then Jesus told, when they came back from, you said that in Luke 24, because of time. Luke 24:41. And they met fish and bread. And Jesus ate with them. John even said they dined. They ate together. Now that doesn't mean it is sustained by food. It can partake of food. It can eat eba. It can eat amala. Like it can, but that doesn't mean what? It's sustained. The Bible says that Jesus is how do you put it? It says Jesus lived by the power of an endless life. That's how that body is. What is sustaining that body is what? The power of what? An endless life. That body is oozing life. It's full of life. Then, what are the features of the resurrected body? That's what Paul was trying to show us in 1 Corinthians. Was trying to show us what our hope should look like. In fact, Paul, when he was trying to show us this body, he was trying to, he even say something that was unusual in the sense that to him, if you don't know this body or if you don't understand how the operation will take place, Paul refers such people as fools. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15:35. And I'll start to round up. 1 Corinthians 15:35. Let's look at it together. Look at that statement. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? That should be a valid question. And with what body do they come? The first question is how. The second question is what? What body? Then look at what Paul said, 36. Thou fool. That was his first response. Thou fool. That which thou sowest. He's talking to the person, you, they're asking this question. When you plant a seed, that's what he's saying. That means even nature, God has showed us that by nature, when you plant something, something else comes out. So if you cannot learn God by nature, if you cannot see the quickening power of God, even what you do, Paul is referring to such person as what? A fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened, except it what? And Jesus have taught us. He said, a corn, or is it a corn or a maize or something, abides alone until it what? Until it is sown into the ground, buried and what? And dies. That's a serious technology. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it dies. Yes. Now, very fast now, please. And that which thou sowest not that body. Look at the first statement. It won't be quickened, except it dies. So, meaning quickening power will not work until it dies. Now, look, it has switched to the body. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. You are not the one that will sow the body, but bear grain. It may chance of wheat, whatever the grain is, whether wheat or rice or whatever. Next verse, 38. But look at that statement. But who? Are we together, please? But who? God. The person who determines body is God. But God giveth it a body as what? As it hath pleased him. And to every seed is what? His own body. So the makeup of everybody is determined by God. Like when I mean everybody now, I mean everybody's body. Everything God created. When he saw maize, like this is how maize should look like. When he saw coconut, when he saw pawpaw, you know, I don't know whether it was pawpaw then. We shall call it pawpaw. When he saw what? Everything God made, he gave them body as it pleases him. So if you don't know this, Paul is saying that that person is a fool. Now he switched to flesh. That's why if you look at creation, you will see it there. When he was making, he said some animals should come from the sea. He said some animals should come from the earth. And you hear all kind of creatures. So all flesh is not the same. All flesh, even in the realm of flesh. Now, it's not talking about flesh that we fell into. It's not talking about, it's talking about the flesh of the body. It's not the same. But there is one kind of flesh of men. So men have one kind of flesh. Our flesh are the same. If you pierce our body, blood will come out. If blood is not, and it has to be red. If it's not red, you are not man. Alien. That is, we are not human. That's true. Okay? There is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of what? Birds. Look at it again. Continue. He said, now switch back to bodies. There are also celestial bodies. That's the stars, the moon, the sun, and the galaxies. And bodies, what? Terrestrial. He now said, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Can you see complexity? Body, flesh, glory. So, in the realm of the celestial, if you come in the realm of celestial, you will see bodies. that you cannot explain, and you will not just see bodies, you will see glory. Can you imagine Adam now? That there would have been glory attached to that body that Adam carried, that made it not possible for him to even see that I'm a washer. That shows that that body did not even need clothes. That's what it shows us. He said, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So there is a connection between glory and body. There is a connection. And our body, we have glory. Let's move to 41. He said, there is one glory of the sun. Now he's speaking the celestial body one by one. Glory of the sun, and that glory of the moon, and that glory of the stars. For one star differeth in glory. So when it comes to star again, you measure stars in glory. Just like we measure things, we can measure beauty. We can measure in, for stars, they measure them what? In glory. And I said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It's trying to show us that when it comes into the resurrection of the dead, there are massive events that happen to the body. Glory is inside of it. Quickening inside all kind of things is a massive event. But our focus is not just on resurrection of the dead, like I've said. We are talking about that body that will come out of that resurrection. Mind you, death did not just happen to man alone. Death also happened to the whole creation. So they are also going to have their own kind of resurrection, though we don't know what they will be like. Because the Bible says that they were subject to what? To vanity. Okay? So let's leave that. Let's continue. So he said, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown. Now, let's look at it. Look at that statement too. So also is the resurrection of the dead. He now said, it is sown. What is sown? The body. I don't know who sowed it. Well, we can assume it's Adam. At least somebody must sow something. A sower went to sow. It was sown. The body was sown in corruption. It is raised what? Look at that statement. It did not say it is going to be raised. Past tense. It has happened already. It has happened to somebody. Jesus. It is raised in what? In corruption. Look at the next statement. So I'm already showing you the features now. The features of the glorious body. One, in corruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in what? Glory. So it has glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in what? In power. It has power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised what? A spiritual. Spiritual body. So meaning, when you look at the word spiritual, it means wind. Wind as body. Can we picture what I'm saying? We are the one that cannot see the body, but it has body. It is a spiritual body. The body of Jesus is very spiritual. Very fast. Faster than the wind. If you can measure the speed of a wind. Very fast. It will just appear and disappear. And it's gone. Okay? It is raised a spiritual body. He now said, to help us, yeah, he said there is a natural body and there is a what? Spiritual. He's trying to help us. He now said, and so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Don't forget that this living soul is now falling. And the last Adam was made a what? A quickening spirit. A quickening. It's not just a quickening. It's a quickening spirit. Albeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is what? So in the order of creation, in the way God has actually planned this thing somewhere, it is natural first. Then what? Then spiritual. And I said, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. So we start from nature, then we move into the spirit. Like, if you are not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to first be born naturally, then you are now born spiritually. Right? So 47. I'm still telling us about the body. He's still talking about the body. The first man is of the earth. He's making. He's nature. Etsy. The second man is the what? Is the Lord from heaven. That shows us that his body is heavenly. Like when you look at the body of the angelic, we can say their body is heavenly. They are not made from this material. Like if you look at when Lucifer was being described to us, what he was made of, carbuncle, gold. Did they even put gold there? I don't think so. They were making mention of the stones that was made. Even though we can find those stones on earth, that doesn't mean that those stones are the stone that was used for him. They have their own amber. They have their own, I forgot the name of those stones. Precious stones. So, the body is heavenly. Let's move on. 49, because of time. I have about 3 minutes. 49. And as we have borne the image. So, everything that you see that is happening to us, we are painting our faces, we are cutting our hair, we are... Now, people don't want to wear clothes anymore. Whatever that you are doing with this body is earthy.
And it's a representation of the fact that you are bearing the image. In fact, you are not even bearing the image of the first Adam in quote. It's the falling. It's the falling one that we are bearing. So we'll sew clothes. Like Jesus was telling somebody that, don't you know that God will clothe your body? Jesus has even talked about it. Oh, you of little faith. If God can clothe the grass, don't you know he will clothe you? We think he's talking of... He said, don't look at your body. Your body can last for 100 years. But the clothes you will wear can just take... I mean, if I so far, buy fine clothes now, in the next 2 years, don't you know? But that body can stay for years. It's not saying, no, God will clothe that. Jesus is able to clothe that body. There is a body prepared for it. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Continue. Now, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood. So we can see the features in corruption. So why am I sharing this with us? Let us have hope. Let us have hope towards this body. If God is searching our heart, he should be able to find something somewhere that has to do with the resurrection of the body. He should be able to. He should. So because of time, let me rush now. So I've showed us the characteristics. I want to read other scriptures. One thing I discovered that God has showed us the technology of these things. Like Father was telling us that we have the Holy Ghost. We're only talking about power. There are other things that the Holy Ghost is supposed to do with us that we have not even begin to talk about like that. I found three technology that are consistent with resurrection of the body or resurrected body. If how the technology, one is death. The first one is death. The body must die first. If it's not dead, no quickening power. I don't know if you get what I'm saying now. Death. You know, that is where we see death, yeah? I'm not talking about death that reigned over the earth. There is another kind of death. There is another kind of death that is... How will I describe it? I don't know. Just hold on to the word death. Another word is quickening. And another word is change. Death, quickening, and change. That's the technology. The body have to die first. Then we'll quicken it. Then what? We'll change it. A quickened body cannot be that previous. It's just like, have you noticed when you fall sick and you wake up and you are fine? How do you feel? Or when you sleep and you wake up? You know, you sleep, you just rest. By the time it's like your memory is reset. It's being restarted. It's like there's this refreshness that comes. We sleep every day. It's telling us that we are going to, and we wake up. We are going to wake up. Because right now, we are also in the valley of the shadow of death, unknowingly. The Bible says that death reigned over the world, and it's still reigning. The Bible says the world lies in what? In darkness. Our body is subject to, you see that in Romans 8. He said your body is dead because of what? Sin. But your spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Then he says that if the spirit of him that raises Jesus from the dead, that's the technology. The spirit of him, I'm quoting Romans 8 because I'm rounding up. If the spirit of him that raises Jesus from where? From the dead. Jesus soon. And his sleeping ground was where? Was among the dead. If he raises him from the dead, he said, he that what? Raises Jesus from the dead, we also what? Quicken us. If we also quicken our, he specified it, mortal bodies. By what? By his spirit. Where is that spirit? Where is the spirit now? That dwells in you. It's not going to be the spirit that is outside us. It is the same spirit that dwells in us that he will use. So what is stopping us from pursuing this? Knowledge. What's stopping us from pursuing this? That's why if you go and check Paul's attitude, Paul knew that there is a death I can die. If I die that death, I don't have to pray, God, raise me up. Mm-mm. God is Tibati Kuben. Just like that woman did not say, Jesus, heal me. Woman with issue of blood now. Sure, remember. If I can touch the hem of his what? Garment. Power my flow. Paul is saying, if by any means I can conform myself to this death, it's not the death of all accident or cold. That's why Paul said, I die daily. If I can arrange my life to that kind of death, I don't have to say, God, I'm dead, though. By nature, I don't have to call. I don't know the word. It will just boom. God will be like, Paul, today, man. Look at your body. What happened to your body? Because there is a way we are thinking that it's, Paul is saying, I want it now. And so that's why we must trust God for understanding. We must trust God for revelation that has to do with this. I'm winding up with Ephesians. I'm sorry, I used beyond my time. Wow, 2 minutes gone. Ephesians, I'm winding up with Ephesians. Ephesians 1:19, then I will stop. I can't quote all the scriptures there. Ephesians 1:19. Do you see this? Paul is saying that you may know. And what is what? Exceeding greatness. Exceeding greatness. I'm saying it again. Exceeding greatness. It's not just greatness. It is exceeding of his power to whom? Who believe. According to the working of what? So, see the measurements. That power is it's work that is OTC Sherry is waiting to work again. Look at verse 20. I'll stop here. Oh yeah, please. Let me just read it and go. He said, which what? Wrought in Christ. Not in the angelic. When he raised him from the dead, and what? That same power, when he raised him, that same power did not stop. Took him and set from the dead. And set with at his own right hand where? In the, Jesus is sitting by power. And that power is inside of us. Paul is saying that we need to know that power. The way we know electricity. 300 years ago, electricity. The way we know, we have to know this power. And when we know this power, they will set us there.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.